Karen Allers.
This is from Devilishly Hot by Kathy Love. Finola still didn't acknowledge Annie as she walked behind her ultra-modern white desk. Actually, everything in Finola's office was white, including the woman herself, with her alabaster skin and pale, pale blonde hair. And Annie, with her mousy brown hair and simple brown cashmere sweater and tweed pencil skirt, was fully aware that she was like a glaring mole on the facade of Finola's perfection. How many times do I have to tell you I do not like brown? Annie smoothed her hands down her skirt, not because the expensive garment had any wrinkles, but because her palms were sweaty. After 3 years, this woman still had that effect on her. It's part of the newest Chloe collection, Annie said softly. Even though she knew Finola wouldn't be impressed, she was rarely impressed with anyone but herself. I don't want to see brown again, Finola repeated, and Annie nodded. You did not cross Finola White. Annie knew that very well. I need you to go down to the design house and pick up the new spring pieces that will be highlighted in the April issue of the magazine. And as you will see, there is no brown in the collection. Annie nodded, not inclined to point out that it was a spring collection, which would be unlikely to feature brown anyway. This is from Annie's War by Thomas William Simpson. I'm ancient now and half blind and mostly deaf, stove up with rheumatism so bad I can hardly hold a cup. But still my memory's good, and my brain as sharp as when I was just a girl out on the farm. And so I've decided to write down everything I can rightly remember, so my grandchildren and great-grandchildren will better know me and the life I lived and the country where I lived it. I do not want to leave the job to others to paint my portrait. The poet and abolitionist and fighter for women's rights, Mrs. Julia Ward Howe, once told me her best friends were paper and pencil. Well, I can't hold a pencil so well anymore, and even if I could, I shake something awful. So I am writing on a big, black, cast-iron Underwood typewriter. A newfangled device for me. We shall see how it goes. Slow, mostly, but there's no hurry. Really only one thing left for me to do. Die. And I'm in no hurry at all to do that. This is from The Love of My Life by Cheryl Stade. The first time I cheated on my husband, my mother had been dead for exactly 1 week. I was in a cafe in Minneapolis watching a man. He watched me back. He was slightly pudgy, with jet black hair and skin so white it looked as if he'd powdered it. He stood and walked to my table and sat down without asking. He wanted to know if I had a cat. I folded my hands on the table, steadying myself. I was shaking, nervous at what I would do. I was raw, fragile, consumed with grief. I would do anything. Yes, I said. I thought so, he said slowly. He didn't take his eyes off me. I rolled the rings around my fingers. You look like the kind of girl who has a cat. How's that? I asked. He didn't answer. He just kept looking at me steadily, as if he knew everything about me, as if he owned me. I felt distinctly that he might be a murderer.